Alright guys, Nathan Bennett, episode 43. I'm not going to lie to you guys, this episode is going to be a bit of a shorter one for multiple reasons. I don't have much to talk about this episode, and also I have midterms and everything like that I got to go ahead and take care of. But I figured I should still get an episode for you guys just so I can, you know, stay consistent and everything. But yeah, this episode's going to be a bit shorter. And also it is like 8 a.m, so, I have my coffee and hopefully that gets my energy up for this episode. So probably the biggest thing on here that I know a lot of people are currently talking about is the Ja Morant situation. Now, the big thing about the Ja Morant situation is why does he continue to do the things that he does, I'll put it that way, because, you know, the whole police report thing came out and everybody was like, it blew up for a little bit, and then after a while it sort of died off because it was like, oh well, there was no criminal charges and everything like that. And then like a couple days later he has a, I don't think I can say the word on YouTube, but he has a pew-pew at a club. Hopefully y'all get what I mean by that, obviously. But like he had this whole situation with the 17-year-old, and then again it was like, okay, we sort of dealt with that, and then immediately afterwards he does the thing at the club. It seems like I know a lot of people have been joking about it. It seems like he's almost intentionally getting in trouble, and it's like, why? You know, he's trying to seem as if he's a lot tougher than he is, because I know several people have made the joke about him living in the suburbs and everything like that, and, you know, coming from a pretty decent family, but he wants to act as if he's not. And so, with the Memphis Grizzlies, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're a young team as well. I saw there was the tweet from Shams, that the Grizzlies had a team meeting, and Stephen Adams, I was about to say Stephen A. Smith. That's why I stopped myself. Stephen Adams was talking about, you know, we need to be more mature. We need to be more responsible. Everything like that. And that really goes to show the importance of having a vet on the team. But it seems that, unfortunately, Ja did not listen to that. And Stephen Adams, to me, is one of, like, the nicest guys in the NBA as well. Like, you know, Giannis has so much publicity and media attention for just being like this super humble guy, but Stephen Adams was that for me even before Giannis. Like, you know, you see all the clips of like him trying to, you know, hit, like patting the opponent like on the back. You know, he has that classic clip of him, I think it was while he was at OKC, where somebody was coming down from a block and almost hit their head, and then instead of scoring, you know, he caught him and saved him and everything like that. And Stephen Adams is just like genuinely like a nice guy, it seems to me. And, you know, he's trying to help spread that on, and unfortunately people aren't listening. But I did find a clip on Shaq and the TNT crew weigh in on the Ja Morant drama, so I sort of want to watch this with you guys. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm sort of curious what they have to say, but I'm hoping that they talk about the vet stuff, like I was just saying, and talk about Stephen Adams and everything like that. So,
one, I wanted to spotlight how young this Memphis team is. I think it's kind of been a part of the storyline. We think about the Thunder, we think about the Magic, the Grizzlies, almost 95% of their points are coming from players.
They have this thing up on the screen that says the Grizzlies are the third youngest roster in the NBA. So like I said, that has a lot to do with it as well.
We've had different players that have spoke out. I just want to go to you first, Jamal, about you being kind of an older brother. And so that's kind of how I want the energy to be here, speaking to a younger brother that is part of this incredible league that we all love. What would you say to Ja at a time like this and with everything that's going on?
Well, first off, I think accountability is always the best thing in this situation. And the statement that I saw, he didn't come out and try to sugarcoat it. He didn't say, you know, it was this or that. He said, it was me. I need to get help. And he owned it. And with that, I think if you take that approach, obviously what he did was wrong. Obviously it was a bad decision. But with that, the accountability, if you accept it and learn from it, then it wasn't a loss, it was a lesson. And that's what I'm hoping comes out of this, because he's a good kid. I was making, you know, not so smart decisions at 21, 22 years old, so I get that part.
So I agree with what he's saying, that like accountability is the best thing you can do, responsibility is the best thing you could do. However, it does not make the problem go away. And I think with a lot of these, not just NBA players, but a lot of people in general in the world now, you know, we're told, you know, take accountability for your actions and everything like that. You know, being honest is the best approach, and think like it won't be as hard if you just be honest. And somehow I think that message has been misconstrued to people, where they think if they're just accountable and honest and they say like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to get help or something like that, the problem will just go away. And it doesn't just go away. You know, you have to actually do what you're saying and, you know, either work on the issue, take it as a, like a lesson, and you know, like he said, you know, work on it. But the problem is, a lot of people, when they get in trouble nowadays, they're just saying like, you know, I'm going to take some time to myself. I'm going to work on it. This was a one-time mistake. I deeply apologize. I take accountability. You know, they say they're going to take some time off to work for themselves. And then like 2 weeks later, they do like the same exact thing or something, you know. Or it's just like, it's such a big issue, like with the Primo thing. Like, Primo was like, oh, I'm going to take some time for myself and figure this out. And it's like, that doesn't matter. It's like what you did. It's like you're off the team. You can't just say, I'm going to take some time to myself, I'm going to figure this out, and then expect everything to be fine. It's like we still have to cut you from the team because this is such a huge deal. And I don't know. It just seems a lot of people now are just saying, if I take accountability, I can get away with it. Which is not the case. So we'll see if he says anything else about that.
But it's not a loss, it's a lesson if you learn from it. I love that he was accountable, but I think this is where vets are so important.
And he's talking about vets. Yep, definitely. See, I was just talking about that. Like, vets sort of act as the role models on your team. You know, they bring, like, they tell you, again, he was talking about, like, being an older brother and, like, stuff like that. It's like, they tell you not to do dumb shit. I mean, I don't know what other way to put it, you know? Like, be smart with your decisions. And, you know, they've been in the league, you know? They've had a lot more time with life as well. And we're seeing a lot of these mistakes being done by these younger players because, you know, the NBA is sort of undergoing an era change where slowly, like, KD, Curry, LeBron, like, they're all going to retire, and we have these people like Luka, Trey, Ja Morant, you know. So the league is full of these younger players now, and because of that, like, each of them are sort of making their own dumb decisions, because, you know, you have to remember that even though these people are professional basketball players, at the end of the day, some of them are still just kids. And I say that as, you know, a kid myself. Like, you know, I'm 20 years old. They're 21, 22, you know. Like, Primo, you know, was 19. Like, these kids are young, like, especially, like, the rookies and, like, some of, you know, the second or third year players, you know. They're young. They're going to make dumb mistakes, but they're in the view of the world, you know. That mistake is going to be broadcast worldwide because of their position in the NBA. And, you know, that one decision that they make could end up, you know, destroying their career in the NBA, destroying future careers because of the fact that, you know, they're well known because of the NBA. I don't know what other way to say it. You know, they're going to be put on blast because every moment of their life is being documented now because of this fame of athleticism.
It doesn't even get to this point. A vet's in the locker room like, yo, young fella, slow down a little bit. Do this way. Move this way. And that's what I think is missing.
It was a bad choice.
Let's see what Shaq says.
Decision. You know, we have to stop. Look in the camera. We have to stop putting ourselves in positions to where they could take away what we've worked so hard to get to.
Exactly.
We should always believe in a higher power. I've always had the ability to stop time and say, if I do this, what's going to be the outcome? It's no excuse for what he did. But remember, he pressed the button on his phone. He went live. Mm. We don't go live. Nobody knows he has a weapon. We're not talking about this. But he did that. Mm. And, you know, why are you in the strip club with no shirt? Why are you walking around with a weapon? And why did you hit the live button? So we have to stop putting ourselves in positions to where they can take away the things that we work hard to get for. I've seen your videos where your dad had the little cord and he training you and your brothers. And I've also seen the video where your mom and dad, they got the nice mansion right next door to you. That's what we're trying to get to. And once we get there, we know the letter of the law. We know not what not to do, what not to say, and we know common sense. Think of the higher power. Like, I feel for him now, but I also feel for his mother and father. Like, what are they going through? So guys, before you make a dumb decision, not a mistake, a dumb decision, a dumb choice, think of the higher power, your mother, your father, your children. I'm not going to jump on the kid. He know what we did was wrong. But remember, he put himself in the position. He didn't have to go live. You got to pick your phone up, swipe to find Instagram, get on Instagram, swipe again, hit the live button, wait for it to connect.
Are you sure you want to go live?
You got to have enough common sense to know that wasn't going to go the way you wanted it to go. You're not a rapper. You're an NBA player. Okay? I don't know where you're from.
Exactly.
I don't know who's hanging out with you. That don't matter. When it's you making the decision, you got to be smart. And we got to stop putting ourselves in a position to where they can take it back. Okay. Now, forget all the investigation. I don't like to hear, what's Nike going to do? Mm. What's the other company going to do? We already seen the other situation where one of our guys lost $30 million. Like, you don't want to see a young kid like him lose that money. So, again, we have to stop putting ourselves in position. So when I say names like, oh, you idiot and all that, I'm not talking about you individually. I'm talking about the decisions that we make. Remember, this is a decision. This isn't an incident where I had it and I'm dancing and it goes off. This is an incident where I pull it out. I hit the button and I wiggle it for everybody to see. So he did it to himself. I'm not going to jump on it. He has to deal with what's coming, and I know he has a lot of support around him. And his friends, can't be yes friends. I love my crew. We fight and argue all the time, but you know what? They keep me in line.
Yeah, I don't think you would surround yourself with many people that.
See, that goes back to exactly what I was saying with like the whole vet thing. Like, you can't surround yourself with yes men. You need people that are gonna keep you in line. They're gonna question your decisions. And that's what vets do on a team. You know, I talk all the time about team chemistry, that sort of thing. And that goes hand in hand with it. You need people that are sort of going to keep you in check and question your decisions. You can't just have people telling you, yes, do this, yes, do this, yes, I completely agree to every single thing you say, or you're going to do something dumb and people told you to do it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people told you to do it because you're surrounded by yes men. You still did it, like Shaq said. So, and I think that sort of goes with the accountability thing, like I said, too. It's like you can take accountability, but you still need to think about what you did. You can't just have the problem go away. There were so many steps you had to take to get to this point, like Shaq said. You had to pull out your phone. You had to log into Instagram. You had to press the go live button. You know, like you said, you had so many opportunities to say no. There were so many hurdles you had to go through to get to this point, and you managed to go through every single one of them.
And about that, my friends keep me in line. My friends like, hey.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You ain't about that life.
No.
You ain't about that life. You don't need to be doing that. Nah, forget all that. Let me tell you something. I like to get it cracking in the club every now and then. You say something to me, but I got boy black. We ain't doing that tonight. Mm.
But I just think we've sat around for the last couple of days and we've listened to like everybody having an opinion. Because everybody seems to have an opinion when you make a mistake, right? Everybody seems to have an opinion when you don't know the whole story. And I get a mistake was made. It was a wrong decision, right? But I hope the people that are around him are changing their opinions and following a certain code of that they all have to change in terms of for Ja to be successful. I look at things as a parent as well. And you talk about like what his parents are going through.
Okay, so I don't want to hate on CP because, you know, I know a lot of people are going to make jokes about like, you know, oh, female commentator or female NBA player. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, I respect, I just know people are going to make those jokes because I say I disagree with her. But I genuinely, like, don't have any hate towards that. But I don't get what she's saying. Like, well, I get what she's saying, but I don't agree with it. Because she's saying, like, oh, Ja is not the only one at fault, and the people around him needs to change as well. That completely contradicts everything that Shaq just said, and that's why I disagree with it. Like Shaq said, he had to go through so many steps to get to that point. You had so many opportunities to say no, no matter what other people around you are saying, that it is ultimately your fault at the end of the day. You know, and she's kind of saying, like, well, the people around him have to change as well. Doesn't matter the people around you. You're the one that made the decision. And that's why I don't agree with what she's saying here. But I'm going to let her continue. So,
you know, I hope that, you know, in that situation, they all are seeing the need to change the decisions that they all are making. Because it's impacting Ja. It's impacting his performance. And it's hard when everybody's against you and everybody, you know, piles on the decision that you made and the mistake. And, you know, I hope that when he does come back and he makes different choices, that we all are able to see that and allow him to grow. Mm. I hope that we don't hold him to this, that that's not the first thing that comes to our mind.
Doesn't define him.
That it doesn't define him.
Right.
Because I do believe that everybody deserves an opportunity. Thank God that this wasn't.
Okay, I can agree with that. Because again, I was just talking about how, because they're an NBA player and because they're in the media so much, you know, it's any mistake they make is going to be put on blast and talked about a whole bunch. And that's sort of what she's saying. We shouldn't let this one mistake define somebody, and that goes for really anybody. So
worse. I think that's the biggest thing. Thank God this wasn't worse. And so everybody deserves a platform and opportunity to grow and to admit that they were wrong and to go forward. And I think everybody is cheering for this dude. Same way when he came out of Murray State. Everybody's cheering for him to be what we think that he's capable of being.
He was the same guy in the bubble. I played in the bubble. He was the same guy in the bubble. Remember, everybody's like, oh, the food's not good. The beds are hard. He was like, I'm fine. The bed's fine. The food's fine. I'm here on a business trip to take care of business. And so that part of him is still there. We just need to come back to the surface. And like you said, the people around him. I was thinking when Shaq was talking, Uncle Jerome was there.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. But he not that he held Shaq accountable, but you need that other grown-up in the room to be like, yo, Shaq, slow down a little bit. You know, whatever it might be, so it doesn't get to this point.
Were you that guy in the locker room?
I became that guy.
You became that guy.
I became that guy, but I wasn't that guy when I first went in the locker room.
Yeah, but you asked the question. It's in the locker room. That didn't happen at the arena. That's happened at the club.
Like, but could it have been stopped? If he's with you in Miami or the Lakers, right? And you see this young dude kind of going this way, Shaq's going to say, yo, young fella, you got to. So it may not get to this point. you're going to pull his coattail early.
But you also have to listen. You know? Like, yeah. You also have to be willing to listen and to learn and to listen to guys that have your best interests at heart.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to turn on, and a lot of times you're going to hear the negativity that's on the television. You're going to hear everybody say what he should be doing or
right.
what he wasn't doing or where he can't, you know, all that stuff. I mean, he's deactivated his Instagram. That's not the reason that this is happening. Mm. Like, the Instagram obviously
it's
allowed
deep,
everybody
yeah,
to
yeah.
see it, but this was not what caused this. And
yeah.
so I think just in seeing and pointing the finger at the right situation, at yourself, and understanding taking accountability is not the internet. Now, you can shut it off,
but you still got to deal with whatever you got
to
deal with.
You still have to deal with what you have to deal
with. But not to go left court, it's crazy because for the last couple of years, we said Memphis needed a vet on the court. What's going to happen in the playoffs? They needed a vet off the court, too.
Yeah.
So this situation could have been slowed down, I believe.
Memphis, we'll see how long Ja is out. We are going to wait for more information. Of course, Steve and Adam.
Yeah, so exactly like he said, there's you need a vet both on and off the court. I mean, I don't know what other way to say it. It's as simple as that. Do you need somebody that's going to be able to coach these younger people on more of a personal level than the rest of the staff, the rest of your staff is going to be able to, because they've been in that situation, you know. But that's all I have to say on, like, the Ja Morant stuff. So, I have on here talking about scoring and defense. I don't want to spend too much time on that, because y'all have heard me talk about it so many times before. But Damian Lillard recently scored 71 right after Donovan Mitchell did. And I think it just goes to show what I've been saying, that, you know, these some of these records are becoming, like, not as impressive as they once were. Not to say that Damian's 71 points and Donovan Mitchell's 71 points isn't impressive, but the fact that they happen so close to each other just goes to show that the league is changing. And, you know, slowly 71 points is becoming, you know, the 71 points is becoming the new, you know, 50, 60 points. And I actually have a video that I'm thinking of putting out called, you know, how long before we get a 200-point game? Because we've had games go to 193, 195, you know. Which is really crazy. So, yeah, again, I don't want to spend too much time on that, because I feel like I'll repeat myself a lot of the things I've said in the past. But defense is definitely seeing a change, and therefore offense is definitely seeing a change. And these scoring nights are only going to become more frequent unless something changes to sort of bring back that defense that I've talked about. So, we can talk about Russell Westbrook and the Clippers. So again, not much to say there. I know that the Clippers have been losing a lot with him. A lot of people are blaming Russell Westbrook for it, but Russ has been playing pretty decent on the Clippers. He's been having high assist numbers, you know. He's been getting double doubles. You know, he is a guard after all. So it's good to see his assist go up and sort of facilitate the ball and everything. But the main problem with the Clippers losing isn't because of Russell Westbrook or anybody else. It's because of the fact that they have, you know, three great defensive players, and yet they have, you know, the 12th best defensive rating. They have Kawhi, they have Paul George, that are amazing defensive players, but it doesn't seem like the team is, you know, using that in order to become a good defensive team. And part of that has to do with, you know, Kawhi and Paul George being out for different parts of the season. But again, they are not using that strength that they have in defense to win their games, which is what they really should be doing. And if we go to Westbrook's stats, you know, So let's compare the Lakers to the Clippers, you know. The past couple of games with the Clippers, he's been negative 12, negative 5, negative 10, so which seems pretty bad. But then you have plus 10, plus 9. If we look at, you know, some Lakers games, though, some Lakers games, he was negative 30, negative 11, negative 10, negative 10, negative 10, negative 13, negative 12. And then if we look at his assist numbers, you know, there is only a handful of times on the Lakers that he's getting double-digit assist, and even whenever it is, it's 10 or 11. With the Clippers, you know, he's already had 14, and he's had two 10s so far, and that's just in the past six games. So I could really see him facilitating the ball a lot more and getting these high assist numbers to really help the team. And we'll just see how it goes. Again, I think the biggest reason that they're losing is because of the fact that not because of Russ or anything else, but just simply because of their lack of defense. So next, we can talk about MVP. So, weirdly enough, if you go to the MVP on... if you try and go to the MVP on the NBA website, they don't actually have the ladder for some reason. They just have stories about the ladder, but they don't have the actual ladder, which is kind of weird. So instead, I have the basketball reference page up for it. And as you can see, which is pretty crazy, Jokic is at like a 70% chance to win. So, I mean, that's just dominating everybody else. And Joel Embiid's been in the ladder for several years, but he's always been injured, so he's never gotten it. You know, Giannis has been in the ladder a lot, and he's already won it a couple times. James Harden is actually up here, which is kind of crazy. You have Luka, who definitely deserves it over these past several years, but the problem is now that he has Kyrie on the Mavs, it's going to sort of hurt his chances to win it a little bit. And then you have some of these other ones here, you know, Tatum, Sabonis, Lillard, SGA, and Jimmy Butler. But Jokic at a staggering 70%. So if we look at the NBA standings real quick, we can sort of see why. If we look at the West, you know, the Nuggets are entirely, like, eight games ahead of the entire Western Conference. And obviously that can shake up a little bit with the Suns and the Mavs getting KD and Kyrie. But the Nuggets are just absolutely dominating everybody else in the West. And that's mainly just because of Jokic. And, you know, Jokic is getting these triple-double nights and just absolutely going off. But again, there's that argument to be made of how much of this is actually Jokic and how much of it is media. And I don't want to do that argument on my own. I would much rather sort of go back and forth with somebody on it, because I can see both sides of it. But it's just crazy that he has like a 70% chance to win it. It's like, you know, you might as well just give it to him now. And then with the most improved player, everybody's been talking about Larry Markkanen, how Larry Markkanen is probably going to win it. And he's seen incredible improvement, but we've also seen huge improvement from Jalen Brunson and SGA as well. SGA is a great player. I don't know if he's shown the biggest jump, though. Because for me, with most improved player, you know, it's about the biggest difference in, you know, last season to this season. You know, that's why it's called most improved player. And to me, Larry Marketing has really made that jump. Jalen Brunson and SGA are definitely playing crazy and playing a lot better. But I think Larry Markkanen has made the biggest leap in his game. We can... Next week, whenever I have somebody on, we'll talk more about most improved player and stuff like that, because I want to sort of dive deeper into each of these guys. But like I said, this episode was going to be a little bit shorter and stuff. I said I didn't have that much to talk about. I want to dive more into the MVP and the most improved player stuff whenever somebody else is on. And I can also get their opinion on the jaw stuff. But for now, that's all I have. I know this was a little bit shorter and a little bit lower energy, but I still wanted to get an episode out for you guys. So I will go ahead and see you guys in the next one. Check out the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen, all that good stuff. And with that being said, I will see y'all in the next one. Peace out.